Think back to your childhood for just a moment. Think about being on the beach and you're building a sandcastle, maybe similar to one that Fancy Nancy was on. When you are a child and you're building your sandcastle, there are many important decisions you need to make. How much water are you going to mix in with the sand? What shape bucket are you going to use? How much time should you spend on the foundation of the castle? And maybe the most important one of all, how close to the waves are you going to build that masterpiece of yours? As a child, being at the beach and building sandcastles might be a fond memory of yours. The one thing with sandcastles, however, is these are temporary structures. It doesn't matter how strong of a castle you have created, because in most cases, it's not going to be there the next day. The tide will get closer and closer until your hard work has been decimated. The wind may blow some of the towers down, and the rest of the castle will crumble to pieces. Only a fool would believe building something with sand or on sand would last long term. By a show of hands, maybe more than the first service, there was zero in the first service. Is anybody an engineer, an architect, or you've built any kind of homes before? Anybody in here? I'll tell you what, Chestnut Level, we gotta get this going, because we're 0 for 2. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It doesn't take a genius or anyone to be fully educated on the proper way to build a home or any structure. We want our homes built on a strong foundation to hold up against what nature has in store. This morning, I'm going to be talking about wise and foolish builders. As many of you know, the youth group traveled to the Bahamas this past July. And a rare occurrence happened to our group where we were impacted by the same hurricane twice in 1 week. And as you could imagine, our friend Connor was ecstatic about this. As we were leaving the Bahamas, the storm began to roll in on our last day. You could see the dark clouds rolling in and the feel changed in the wind. And many of the youth sitting up front here today know the feeling. Were we gonna get home on time? Was the flight home gonna be safe? But fortunately, Bruce was able to steer us back to the dock through the waves, and we were able to get home on time. Then a few days later, that same storm rolled up to us in Lancaster, PA. And the one day I stood out on the front porch and observed the winds blowing and the rain coming down, and I was so grateful that I had a home that could withstand such force. A house that is built on a firm foundation, not like a sandcastle. Although the outside of our homes, the physical parts, need to be strong, it is the inside of your house, the people, that need the strongest foundation. In Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27, Jesus is preaching his Sermon on the Mount. And I can't help but notice that he ends his most famous sermon ever speaking about building on a solid foundation. Let's take a look at this passage. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Friends, this too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, as we can probably agree on this, Jesus wasn't talking about sandcastles here, right? I don't know how often Mary, Joseph, and Jesus was making their way down to the shore on an annual trip. Even though Jesus is well known to be a carpenter by trade, I also don't think he was talking about building any wood structures either. I believe Jesus was speaking about building our foundation on him, building our foundation, our life, on the rock, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. This past summer, I had the opportunity to go to a conference in Reading at the Santander Arena. This conference had an A-list of group speakers that went all day long. Some of the people I heard speak were Pastor Craig Groeschel, Willie Robertson from Duck Dynasty, Ann Byler, the founder of Annie Ann's Pretzels, Brian Dawkins, the Hall of Fame Philadelphia Eagle, and this is my opinion, but it's the correct opinion, the greatest college football player of all time and one of my favorite people in the world, Tim Tebow. But the speaker that impacted me the most that day is a guy named Nick Vujicic. Nick is an Australian man that was born with no arms and no legs. He is rated as the number one motivational speaker in the world. When Nick came on the stage, he had the full attention of the 10,000 people that were there that day. And after looking at him and listening to all the things he had accomplished in his life, in spite of the circumstances that he was been given at birth, his message was pretty simple. What is your excuse? What is stopping you from being the person God made you to be? Unfortunately, when Nick was a boy, he handled his physical limitations much differently. When he was 10 years old, he actually attempted suicide. The bullying at school was becoming too much for him, and he decided that he didn't want to deal with it anymore. He tried to drown himself in his bathtub, but the love that he had for his parents overcame his negative thoughts, and he pulled himself out of it. The other children had convinced him that he was a mistake, that he would never eventuate to anything. Boy, were they wrong. He now enjoys traveling the world, speaking in front of massive crowds, real estate investments, surfing, and raising his four children with his wife. When Nick speaks of the obstacles he has and continues to endure, yet has been so successful in his life, you start to understand why he is the best motivational speaker on the planet. The one thing that Nick said he is most proud of is that he is a follower of Jesus. Nick stated how important Psalm 139 has been in his life. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. The God that we serve knew each and every one of you before the earth began. Every one of you was designed by the ultimate creator. That is why no matter the limitations you put on yourself or the ones that others put on you, you are so special that the same God that created the heavens and the earth decided that it needs to be one of you in the world, one of you in the world, and one of you in the world. Regardless if you are born differently, like Nick, God loves you the same. Nick was blessed to have grown up in a Christian household, and his parents and uncle were there to teach him about Jesus. Nick's parents were wise builders and built their foundation on Jesus. Up to age 10, Nick explains he didn't believe the truth his parents were telling him, that he was wonderfully and fearfully made, because he wasn't building the right foundation. The foundation where it's all about Jesus. He explained that it's not about what you have or what you don't have, or what you wish you had or what you wish you don't have, that it's all about Jesus. It's about building your life on the rock. That is what Nick's parents did for him as a boy, and that is what he does with his own family. Even when you think you can't walk, God will carry you. If you have never listened to Nick speak or any of his messages or his books, I highly suggest you listen to him, read some of his books after today. He is truly an amazing man that he is on fire for God. If you did not know, I am beyond blessed to have three beautiful girls in my life. My wife, Christy, is here today. Christy, if you mind standing up real quick, so everyone. She gets to deal with me every day. My two-year-old daughter, Sophia, and my three-month-old daughter, Clara. When we found out that we would be having our first child, we were so excited. Any parent in here most likely remembers that feeling you get when you were going to get news you're about to have your first child. Christy actually hit a phone in the room and had me walk in and trick me that something else was happening, but it was actually showing me that we were about to have our first child, and there was a lot of tears and hugs and laughter, and it was a very special day. You could say that we were pumped. It was exciting yet terrifying at the same time. We were entering a new adventure in our life. So let's fast forward now. We are halfway through the pregnancy, and Christy is 20 weeks pregnant with Sophia. After an ultrasound, we found out that Sophia was most likely going to be born with some health complications. An echocardiogram confirmed that she was going to be born with two holes in her heart and that she would need open heart surgery when she was only 4 months old. And when you get a phone call like this, you will always remember where you were when you got it. The doctors also said that there were signs in her ultrasound that she would be potentially be born with Down syndrome. After further testing, we were actually given a 49.5% chance that she would have Down syndrome. So right down the middle, 50-50, what was going to happen? And you could maybe imagine how we felt that day. The life that we had been dreaming about for our future daughter had changed 180 degrees. The solid foundation that we had built our marriage on instantly began to crack. To make matters worse, we were being pressured from a genetics organization to abort the pregnancy. In case you weren't aware of this, 1 in 700 pregnancies have a Down syndrome baby. But the horrific reality is, most of those babies don't make it to birth because 76% of them are aborted in the United States. And actually much higher in other countries. Some countries, 100% of Down syndrome babies are terminated. Similar to how Nick's parents felt about their child being born different, we are feeling something similar. And I'm not going to sugarcoat this. I was mad at God. Christy and I would pray together before bed while she was pregnant every night, asking God to heal Sophia's heart and for her to be born with no cognitive differences. I would take our dog outside at night and just stare up into the sky, asking God to change this reality for us. I would ask questions like, why was this happening? What did we do wrong to deserve this? Fast forward another 20 weeks, and it was time to meet our first baby girl. When Sophia was born, we were instantly in love with this gift God had blessed us with. Yes, she was born with a cognitive difference, but it didn't matter. Any sense of anger or animosity towards God was gone. We saw that she was fearfully and wonderfully made. He knitted her inside her mother's womb. Her pregnancy was smooth sailing, and we were out of the hospital in just 48 hours. Beyond Sophia's Down syndrome, there was a bigger issue now to deal with. A few days later, she was confirmed to have two holes in her heart. So the next 4 months, we prepared ourselves for her scheduled heart surgery. On January 4th, 2023, Sophia had her surgery at CHOP in Philadelphia. If you have never been to CHOP, it can be hard to put into words what you experience while you're there. Children will come from all over the world to get the medical attention that they need. You will see children in wheelchairs, kids fighting cancer, and little ones that are born differently than most of us are. I learned very quickly during our week-long stay at CHOP that I don't do well with seeing my baby hooked up to wires and hearing beeping noises all day long on machines. I would become overwhelmed by the sounds, so I would need to take breaks and leave the room. One day I found a spot not too far from Sophia's room that I called the bridge. This spot had benches and big glass windows to look outside and see the city. It was at the bridge where my life was changed. It was where I started to really build my life on the rock. Most of the time when I would go to this place, I would put my headphones in and close my eyes and just try to keep my composure of all the things going on around me. I would honestly just sit there and pray and bawl my eyes out most of the time. I'll try not to do that now. I was completely overwhelmed and scared that my daughter wouldn't be okay, that something would happen and her heart would stop working. During one of my trips to the bridge, I was shuffling through worship songs on my phone, and I came across a song called I Belong to Jesus by Bethel Music. This song shifted my faith in Jesus, and I want each of you to listen to the bridge of this song right now.
In the rain. in the window, I was okay. You were right there, you're in every step I take. When the night falls, when my heart aches, if I stumble, I will not break. You'll be right there, you're in every step I take.
Come on, sing that again.
When the rain fell, when the floods came, when the wind blew, I was okay. You were right there, you're in every step I take. When the night falls, when my heart aches, if I stumble, I will not pray. You'll be right there, you're in every step I take.
So after playing this song over and over again, it was as if Jesus was sitting right there next to me. I don't know if anyone can relate to a moment in your life where the feeling of Jesus being present is so real, it's as if you could reach your arm out and touch him. That's what this moment was like for me. I could sense him comforting me and telling me, "Evan, it's all going to be okay. Lean back on me, and I'll give you the strongest foundation imaginable to stand on." After this experience we have with Sophia, I had full faith our daughter was going to be just fine. And if you look at this picture here, this is actually right after this moment I had with Jesus, and you can see the smiles on our faces, and it's really hard to imagine being in that room, but still feeling excited and happy because Jesus was in the room with us. A few days later, Sophia was discharged from the hospital, and we were headed home. And we are so blessed to say that her heart is as good as new, and she literally has zero limitations, not even medications. Praise God. I believe there are three ways to become a wise builder and live your life on a firm foundation. Number one, put God first in everything you do. From the moment you wake up until you go to sleep, put God first. From your thoughts to the people you surround yourself with, to the music you listen to, or the TV shows you watch, put God first. You will never find more purpose in your life than when you do this. You will be more happy, and life will have so much more meaning than just going through the motions and living life with no purpose. Have you realized that when you pray out loud with others, it is the most intimate thing you can do? This takes practice, and I would be lying to you if I said I have mastered this in my own family and my friends. It is a work in progress. There was a study done that evaluated marriage and couples and prayer. Unfortunately, in America today, 50% of marriages end in divorce, if you didn't already know this. However, research shows that couples that intently pray out loud, the out loud part is the important part, together, end in divorce less than 1% of the time. So we go from 50% down to less than 1% when we include Jesus. There is no denying that God needs to be at the center of our relationships. It takes two people to get married, but it is clear that it takes three people, including Jesus, to stay married. Pray together. Just give it a try. Number two, make the eternal Creator your foundation, not something from this world. If you are making anything other than Jesus your foundation, it's going to eventually crumble, just like a sandcastle. You are destined for instability and unhappiness if you live this way, because things of this world are temporary. Money is temporary. Homes and cars and things are temporary. Careers are temporary. Relationships with friends can sometimes be temporary. If I didn't have Jesus to fall back on in my lowest pit, I would have been lost. If your life is built on a relationship with someone else and that relationship fails, what is going to happen to your foundation? If your life is built on a career of yours, who are you going to run to if you get laid off or the company goes under? Or maybe your foundation is built on your identity or your reputation. What is going to happen if one day you lose the respect of others around you? Build your life on the eternal God who was and is to come. And number three, listen to God's voice, not your own voice. And the best way to do this is open up your Bible, read the Word of God, and listen. Don't say God has been silent when your Bible has been closed. Set a routine every day and listen to God talk to you. Designate a spot in your home where you can have peace and quiet, where you can spend time reading the Word. If you spend too much time listening to your own voice, you're going to hear voices of doubt, shame, self-pity, and arrogance. Listen to the Word of God. Although having our daughter go through the scariest time in our life, God used this chapter in our life as a way to show us that we needed Him, that my foundation needed to be built on Him, not built on earthly things or my own understanding. Sometimes God lets you get to the bottom of the pit to prove to you that the only way out is to reach up, grab His hand, and let Him pull you out of it. Christy and I look at life differently now. Instead of looking through the lens of our own eyes, we look through the lens of the cross. Because no matter what struggles you go through in life, no matter how big or small, you can remember that Jesus went to that cross and died for each of you. He took on every single sin you and I would ever make so that we could have an eternal relationship with Him. As the Bible says, we love because He loved us first. Our God is a good God. Our God is a loving God. And when you ask for a miracle and you don't get that miracle, you can still be that miracle. That others will see Jesus shine off of you in spite of what you're going through. And as the song goes, when the rain fell, when the floods came, when the wind blew, I was okay. Because you were right there, you're in every step I take. It's time for each of us to build our life on the rock. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for being our firm foundation. Give us the wisdom, Lord, that when we are going through life's challenges, no matter how difficult, we'll know that we have you to fall back on. Even when the floods come and the wind blows, our lives will be strong because we will be like the wise builder. Lord, in a world where it seems like it is getting stormier every day, give us the confidence and boldness to be a beacon of light shining on all those around us. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand for the closing hymn, The Solid Rock.